Blog Talk Radio. Indeed, indeed, I hope it is well with your soul today. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven. We are beginning a new series today, and I hope that this Monday has been a Monday of blessing and activity, that you're doing well, and that God has been with you so far this day. Let's open our Bibles to our text, found in Isaiah 41. This series is entitled God's Third I Will. We have already mentioned, we've already covered the fact that when Satan has I wills, he is a selfish creature, thinking only of himself and no one else. But God's I wills have everything to do with God blessing people. Satan thinks of himself, God thinks of others. Satan seeks to enrich himself, and God seeks to enrich others. Glory be to God. The text reads, Isaiah 41:10, "Fear thou not," this is God speaking, "for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Dear God and Heavenly Father, we so look forward to this word today. In this world of complexity, in this world of hardship, in this world of uncertainties, hardships, trials, perplexities, much confusion, oh God, we turn to thee and we turn to thy stabilizing word. For it is your word that anchors us in hope and faith in you. Your word says in the book of Hebrews that you would never leave us nor forsake us. And we count on that, O Lord. And we trust in your word, for we know that you are not a man that you should lie. Bless our time together. Bless our time here with the word. And bless our soul. Make our souls well. As the hymn writer wrote, it is well with my soul. And we ask, how can it not be well with our souls after spending time in God's word and in his presence? Bless us, O Lord, we pray. Bless everyone at Grace Church. Bless even the ones who, for whatever reason, were not in church on Sunday. Bless Brother Austin there in Tennessee in his new venture. Bless Bob Borsch there at the hospital. Bless Shirley Shannon, Lord. Bless Joyce Ten Eyck. Bless Brother Harvey Rackmeyer. Bless them all, Lord. Sister Val Fiegels. Bless them all. This we ask. This we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen, Lord. And amen. By way of introduction, we look at the text, which is color-coded there in your outline. And our introduction reads, God, the ultimate strengthener, helper, and upholder of his covenant people, God. Now, the introduction reminds us who God is and what a lofty position he holds in our lives. But as the introduction infers, he is the ultimate, but also there are some other strengtheners, helpers, and upholders. And I hope and pray that I can be a strengthener, a helper, and upholder to you, and vice versa, that you can be a strengthener and a helper and an upholder to me, that we may serve one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Knowing our limitations, knowing that we can only do so much because we are finite creatures, we turn our attention to God. When we are in desperate straits, when no one can save but the mighty arm of the Lord, we turn to him as the ultimate strengthener, helper, upholder of his church. These three nouns, strengthener, helper, upholder, point to three verbs or three action words found here in Isaiah 10. He says he will strengthen. Strengthen is a verb. It comes from the Hebrew verb amas, meaning he has promised to make us strong, to make us stout, to make us solid, to make us bold, to make us courageous, to give us the mind of a determined people. People who know where they're going and what they shall do. We are not double-minded. We're not flaky. We're not wishy-washy. We have been made determined. We have solid convictions and solid determination. He has strengthened us. Then he also promises to help. The Hebrew verb Azar, meaning he promises to assist us, to aid us, to support us, to rally around us, to get us out of tight spots when we get into difficult situations, to come to our rescue, to lend a helping hand when we are in need of a helping hand. And then finally, the verb that we're going to be looking at length this week, which is part of the third I will, is I will uphold thee. The Hebrew word tamak, which is a verb meaning to grasp, to lay hold of, to support, to hold fast, to hold secure, to lift above the fray, to lift us above the battle, to lift us above the heavy persecution or the dire sickness. That's what God promises to do. Three things. He promises to make us solid. He promises to get us out of a tight spot. And he promises to lift us above the storm. Now, Christianity is not a Pollyanna religion where you're just promised day and night everything's going to be hunky-dory and peaches and cream. No, we do not subscribe to Joel Osteen's fake theology. Boy, is that guy a false teacher. All he does is he makes promises that everything's going to be beautiful. Everything's going to be wonderful. Everything's going to be glorious. And if you live in the real world, you just happen to know that's not true. That's not reality. It's a falsehood to be promising us or anyone that you're just going to live a perfect life with no hardships, no problems, no sickness, no disease, no terrible knock at your door one day. That's just not true. It's just not true. But we know that we can make it through these hard times if God is there to what? To strengthen us. We know that we can get through the other side if God is there to help us. We know that we shall be rescued because it is God who promises to uphold us or to take us in his arms, cradle us in his arms, and lift us above the fray. That's what God promises. And so these three verbs describe God in action. Three things he promises to do for his people, which he has already done in the past. God has already strengthened me in the past. God has already helped me in the past. God has already uplifted me, pulled me above the fray so many times in the past. And since he's done it in the past, I know he can do it in the future. And there's a picture of what this word or this verb, Hebrew tamak, means. There's people. There are children there. There's an elderly woman there. There's a young couple there with a baby in their arms. There's young people. There are children there. There are adults there. They're all in God's hand. That children's song we used to sing in church, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Well, in a very special sense, he's got the church in a special way in his hands. Yes, I wouldn't argue with the song that God indeed has the whole world, which is made up of saved people and unsaved people, in his hands, but in a very special way. God has his covenant people, his redeemed people, in his hands, and it is them whom he promises to strengthen, to help, and what? Lift above the fray. If you ever encounter a hard battle where you think and you say to yourself while you're in the midst of the fight, I don't think I will survive this. I don't think I'm going to overcome this enemy. It's curtains for me. I'll put up a good fight. I'll go down swinging, but I know I'm going to be buried. I know they're going to eulogize me because I'm not getting out of this. But you see, the Bible says he will uphold you. You think you won't get out, but he will lift you out. And that's what the word tamak conveys. That when you are surrounded, cornered, it's over. Put down your weapon. You're not. It's over. The fight's over. When you think you've lost it all, then here comes God, and he pulls you out of that tough situation and saves you. That's what it means when the word says, "I will uphold thee." The children of Israel were cornered. They had their backs to the sea. There was nowhere to go. They thought Moses had committed a military blunder by leading them to that spot where they were cornered. It wasn't Moses' military blunder. God told them to go right to that spot because it was right there that God was going to lift them above the fray. The people turned to Moses. They were angry with Moses. They said, you brought us here. Look at what you've done. You inexperienced leader, look what you did. Look at the spot you brought us to. This was the worst spot you could have brought us to. And, of course, Moses was shaken because he could see the charioteers coming. He could see Pharaoh and his mighty cavalry coming. The dust, I mean, there was just a giant dust cloud with all of those chariots racing down to slaughter them. And what did God do? He lifted them above the fray. He rescued them. When it was all over, it was curtains. They were finished. Their freedom, their liberation was short-lived in their minds. We were free for a few hours. No. When God sets you free, Jesus says you're free indeed. It seems like you're only going to be free for a few hours until God shows up. And then what happens? You're free for life. He lifts you above the fray. He upholds you. Again, God is what? The strengthener, the helper, the upholder of his people. Those three verbs highlight, underscore what God promises to do for you and for me as long as we live. Remember, God is not a man that he should make promises and then not fulfill them. God must honor his word. His word means everything to him. In a day and age when a man's word means nothing, that is not so with God. Well, we're going to leave it there, and we'll come back tomorrow to deal with a scripture in Exodus 17:12, a scripture that is so familiar to us. When Aaron and Hur upheld the hands of Moses while he prayed. How does that relate to God upholding us or lifting us up out of the fray? We'll come back tomorrow and see how God upholds his people with his mighty right hand. God bless you.
The sweet.